Welcome to the Trailer Cast with Elise Snipes. Each week, I will be sharing with you from inside my vintage trailer where I work as a therapist and share some of my musings on the human experience. I am endlessly fascinated and inspired by people. I love being a therapist and am deeply grateful for the intimate and beautiful work I get to do. I believe we are wildly capable of healing and making this world a better place, and this is my attempt at doing that. Sharing beauty to invoke beauty. May you find yourself inside these stories and ponderings and be better for it. Cheers. Okay, hey everybody, welcome back to Trailer Cast this week. I'm going to be here interviewing my longtime friend Aurora, and we are going to be talking about an event that we're putting on together in July, and we're focusing on the connection between mind and body. So I'll be representing some form of the mind, and she'll be representing the body. And we're doing this because our work parallels each other. So a lot of the times when I'm working with people, I refer to like our core beliefs or the things that we believe so deeply within ourselves, and it's a place from which all of our other work flows. And if our core work is off, then all the other pieces have a hard time lining up. And then ironically, in talking with my friend, she's a self-care advocate and yoga instructor, it's the same thing, but physically. And we're like, wait a second, like what if we could do both together and invite people to that space where we're able to help people align their core in every sense of the word, literally, psychologically, spiritually, the whole thing. So today I'm interviewing her. She's here with us. I'm going to have her tell us more about her journey, and then we're going to talk to you a little bit more about the event and why you should be there and why you don't want to miss out, because it's going to be rad. So without further ado, my friend Aurora Allen.
Hi there. How's it going?
I'm happy you're here today.
I am so happy to be here. It really is. It feels very aligned. It does. It really does. Yeah. And it's just really a beautiful thing to reconnect with you after so many years. Totally. And like meet you where we really are more of ourselves than we've ever been.
I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
So the first time I met you was at Sync Money Press. When we were doing, I don't know if it was High Life or even before that, but you'd already been there. I think you were there before I was, for sure. So okay. I was like, oh, this girl knows what's going on here.
That's so funny. Yeah. That's like, so funny because I knew nothing. I mean, I still don't know a lot, but like then for sure, I really was struggling in who I was, you know?
I hear you. Similarly.
Yeah.
Okay, you used the word alignment and you are aligned, and that's also in your IG profile, the well-aligned woman.
Yes.
Would you maybe start with well-aligned woman and however you want to express to us who you are, professionally, personally, otherwise?
Yeah. Who I am, like, that's like such a big question, right? Like, oh my gosh. It can go in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for today's purposes and to kind of share what I do with people, I am a yoga instructor and a health coach here in Orange County. Okay. I work alongside my husband, who's a chiropractor, and you know, he really does a great job getting people out of pain and teaching them how to stay out of pain. And then I can kind of come and walk alongside them in their health journey to change their habits and create healthier habits through... it's really behavior modification when I'm doing the health coaching, but then, you know, I really love, my passion is yoga, and to share yoga with people, I just think it's such a beautiful gift that I've been given that I want to share that. So, that's kind of what I do, and well-aligned woman really kind of came out of being a chiropractor's wife, you know, right? Like, he gets me well aligned. Yeah. And then it was that married to the fact that my style of yoga is alignment-based flow. And so not that I am a well-aligned woman, but that I am on a quest to become a well-aligned woman. Yes. And then as I kind of started working with this idea in my own work, in my own life, gosh, alignment just has shown up in so many different ways, right?
The word keeps surfacing for you.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. So it started with body for me. You know, you talk about how we really have a lot of parallels. You know, for me, it started in my body.
Yeah.
To get healthy in my body and what that meant, it showed me that lined things up for me in other aspects of my life. And it was so totally beautiful. And so now it's just this like, gosh, alignment in all aspects of the word. Mm. I think is really important. So yeah, so my website is Well Aligned Woman, and there I have a blog, and I'm creating some really cool stuff I'm excited to share with people.
Tell me about the exciting stuff. Go for it. Jump in there first. Yeah, I want to know what's exciting to you.
Gosh, there's so much there, like so much history there, but basically, I'm starting to bring my workshops online. So I do workshops in the Orange County area, yoga-based workshops, but focusing on core work. Mm-hmm. And I work a lot because of that. I work a lot with prenatal and postpartum women.
Okay.
And especially the postpartum women, they need this information. And, I'm because I've done the work in my own body, sharing it has been really important, and they need this information, but a lot of women, I get emails that they can't make it to my live events because they have a new baby, right? Of course. They don't have childcare, or they're not ready to leave the house for that long, or they don't have any way to nurse their baby because they're having trouble with their milk supply or whatever. Totally. There's like so many things that keep us from living our life after having a baby because you're so focused, especially in that first, it was the first year. Like the first year was like a struggle bus moment, and there's so many transitions. So because of that, I haven't been able to share with as many women as I'd like to. And I've had a lot of requests to bring my stuff online. I'm bringing it online, and I'm really, really excited about it. And I'm not quite done with it. I'm hoping that next month I'll be launching. It's called Core Restore, and it is a workshop really to help women connect to their core muscles.
I love this.
What are the core muscles?
So no, like literally,
right. So we talk about anatomy because your abs aren't just one muscle. There are layers and layers of muscles, and what's working and what's not after you have a baby, especially, but really for anybody. Yeah. I think it's important to know what's going on in there on a really basic level.
Right.
Like we don't get like too crazy with it. But then, taking some really, really simple practices.
Yes.
This is not like fitness professionals. This is not like we're going to get six-pack abs.
Totally.
We're really just connecting to the deeper layers so that everything works together, right? So we balance our tissues in our bodies so that we have a strong base to go about and move in whatever way we want to, right?
Yeah, I'm loving this because a couple things. What I'm hearing, like, knowledge is power. You're breaking it down into simple steps. You're helping them, like, just pivot a little bit to be able to make changes that are sustainable and that it's balance, integration, and, like, tissues out. And I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, I'm like, we'd be having the same conversation about the parallel work of, like, what our internal journey looks like. It's the same thing.
Absolutely.
This is so cool.
Absolutely. And what I love is that everybody speaks different languages, right?
Yeah.
So my language is body work.
Yes.
Your language is mental health, right?
Yeah.
And but it's the same work.
It is the same. Okay, so how long after having a baby is someone still considered postpartum? Like, would I qualify? My last baby is 3.5.
Forever. You are forever postpartum. And, can we talk about this idea of bouncing back after having a baby?
Oh.
Right? I mean, no, but like really, like it makes me so mad.
If you want to talk about it in the form of like an overstretched rubber band that's never coming back, then yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay, totally, totally. So like, you know, oh gosh, like she bounced back after having a baby. It kills me because I think that it's placing a lot of pressure on women.
You're no kidding.
Right? And also, typically when somebody says that someone's bounced back after having a baby, they're referring to their weight.
You're right.
And if they've lost weight quickly.
Right.
But even if a woman has lost weight quickly, it doesn't mean that her body is the same as it was before she had a baby. It will never be the same. And I want women to understand that. And that it's not about weight loss.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you weigh. It's how you feel in your body.
Totally.
And you can feel good in your postpartum body.
Correct.
Absolutely.
God, isn't interesting. But I think maybe anyone even listening to this knows the difference between when they feel good and how that emanates from I feel good. Now I also look in the mirror and I feel like I look better. Now, maybe the scale didn't shift. Or maybe like how I present myself to the world didn't totally shift, but I feel different.
Yes.
I swear the world notices.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. And if you can find a sense of support in your body, you walk from that place. You live from that place. You become aligned from that strong, stable base.
Yes. I love this
so can
so
we
much.
Stop yeah. talking about women yeah. bouncing back?
Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay. So then how do you want women to think about core restore? So, so maybe they're being restored. They're not necessarily bouncing back, but they're moving towards restoration.
Yes, absolutely. It is, a rehabilitation, right? It, your tissues, your body has gone through a lot, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I just watched my first childbirth. My sister just had a baby last month, and I've never seen. I'm gonna cry. I've never seen something like so radical, and I've never in my whole life. And watching that, I was like, it was equal parts like magic, also like nuts to see what the body's doing. Like, and you can, because it was outside of my own body, so I can watch and be like, damn,
right.
A female body is radical.
Yes.
So I'm hearing this. I'm like, okay, my sister would be a perfect person to come and listen or take this core restore because she is so on the cusp of having a baby. And then I'm like, wait a second, like my body for sure is lacking that strength, and then I've adapted to bad habits of like how I sit, how I posture, whatever you're saying, to be like, oh, I need those tips.
Yeah, I still think I do this work regularly.
Yeah.
And I notice when I've been away from it.
Yes, totally. Oh, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
We all, and whatever our work is, whether it's that physical or that mental, spiritual, emotional, that when we slip, there's a sense of like, funk, a little
absolutely.
Like looser.
Yeah. And I think that's why I love the body work for me, because I've learned how to tune into my body to a point where if I feel in that funk, I can get on my yoga mat and I can do some really, really simple breathing and postural exercises that show me where I'm at.
Totally.
And it's clear because I've done the work though. Yes. And it's because I've gotten to that point where I've tuned in enough to where I can really feel, and then I've taught myself how to figure out how to come back to center.
Yes.
And that is a dedicated practice.
Yes, it is. Well, and it's your life, right?
Yes.
As we talk about a lot with therapy too, is that like this isn't, there's no grand test at the end. It's just practice. Like we're just practicing being human beings.
Yes.
And so this is us just doing it. And some days I do it better than other days. And some days I hit it. I'm like, that was rad. And other days I'm like, well.
Well, hey, there's tomorrow.
I mean, it happened, so whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Self-care advocate. That was something else that was on your profile. And someone from Instagram asked about that as well.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. I want to hear more about what it means for you to be a self-care advocate, because I like those words.
Yeah, me too. Me too. When that came to me, I was like, yes.
Yes.
And I think it stemmed from me really, truly, honestly caring for myself. And that took me a long time to get there. But self-care is this like buzzword right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are talking about it, and it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So I think that it's important to define it for yourself.
Okay, cool.
But that said, I was thinking about, you know, this self-care advocacy, and I have recently gotten into gardening.
Totally.
I am determined. I am determined to turn my black thumb green. And so as I'm gardening, you know, there are some essential needs that a seed needs to grow into a plant, right? You need something to grow in, so some kind of soil.
Yeah.
You need water, and you need some kind of light source, right? But that's just basic survival needs. So that's where self-care starts.
Yeah.
You have to be getting your basic survival needs met. And so if you're not, then that's where you start, right? And then, though, I think about my little plants, and I want them to grow, and I want them to thrive, and I want them to bear fruit, right?
Yes.
So those three things aren't going to be quite enough
to
do that. You need to consider the nutrients in the soil. You need to consider the temperature. You need to consider if they're getting too much sunlight or not enough.
Yeah.
You need to consider if there are bugs eating away at the leaves and just desiccating your plant, you know? So if you leave your plants out and don't tend to them regularly, you never know what's going to show up a month from now.
Yeah.
But if you're going out every day and you're checking and you notice, oh, there's a little bug there. I'm going to replace that bug and put him somewhere else. Give him something else to feed off of. I'm going to fertilize my soil so that my plants are getting the nutrients they need. So I like this idea and this kind of metaphor.
Yeah.
I mean, we are, we need to check in with ourselves. We need to see how we're doing. And I think we need to do that regularly. You know, like I said, this means different things for different people. For me right now, there are kind of four aspects of self-care.
Okay, cool.
The first is nourishment.
Okay.
So food. And how do I nourish my body? But also hydration, right? Like if I'm dehydrated, like I feel... I feel bad.
Yes.
Right. So getting into that a little bit more and educating myself on what that means for me. It's this like constant like give and take and listening in. Did that feel good in my body? Things like that. The second is movement, right? Moving in all different ways and regularly moving my body. It doesn't have to be an hour vinyasa flow class.
Right.
Like it can be a walk down the street with my kids. But movement.
Okay.
And then there's rest, right?
It's like, ironic though. Yeah, but yes. Okay. Keep
going. We've got to rest.
Yeah, we do.
And rest doesn't mean sleep necessarily.
Right. It has to be restored.
Yes. Restore. Restore. So for me, on a grander sense, right now, rest is getting my nervous system to calm down, right? Go into the parasympathetic nervous system state of being, which we all have.
Yes.
So we can all tap into it. How I tap into it might be different than how someone else does, but tapping into being able to calm my nervous system down.
I'm going to come back to that.
Yes.
Okay.
The last one for me right now is, this is the newest one, is play.
I was hoping you were going to say that. I was
Well, I'm watching my kids play. It just recently came to me. I'm watching them play and my daughter's into this like galloping on her hands and knees. And I'm like, wow. Like,
she's free.
Yeah, she's so free.
Yes.
And she's inspired me to play more. I'm such a hard worker.
Yes.
And I love working.
Yeah, totally.
But I've got to play.
Yeah.
I got to enjoy.
So nourishment, movement, rest, play.
Yeah.
Okay. And so those are kind of like foundational things that you're maybe, you're looking out into your week and making sure you have some of those things happening. Or is this daily, all those things are happening?
No, no. It's, I'd say on a weekly basis.
Okay.
And I try to just kind of look at my week and where do I have space for this? Where do I have space for that? Planning is, I think, really important.
Okay, so this the PNS, is that something I want to think about? Because specifically how our how our body responds to trauma specifically and where it lives and lodges in our body and how that blocks and prevents like the rest of our body's healing.
Yes.
And like this is again why I think like the marriage of our work is essential for people to reach the or make the progress they want, to have like the benefit that they want from the work they're already doing in therapy or in yoga or with a health coach. However they're approaching their work, there are actual physiological blocks that are occurring.
Yes.
And so how I want to, I do a couple things with the people I'm working with that have experienced trauma. And this is like trauma. It does not have to be the obvious trauma. We're talking little t trauma. It could be something very minimal. We wouldn't necessarily classify as like PTSD trauma.
Right.
But anything that's out of alignment, right? Like within our body, breath,
yes. Right?
Okay. What are the other things you do to help people with their, with the parasympathetic nervous system?
Breath is the biggest.
It is. Right.
It is
okay.
The number one biggest thing. And really my breath work practice for myself came from yoga. There's, so yoga isn't just the asana or the physical postures, or the flow in your body. There's eight limbs of yoga.
Okay.
And the asana is just one.
Okay.
There's an entire other limb of yoga, which is called pranayama, which is breathwork practices.
Okay.
It translates, pranayama translates, into life force energy. And
I like that.
There are many different ways to breathe. And what I love about the yoga practices of breathing are you can upregulate your nervous system or downregulate it depending on how you're breathing.
So this comes back to, again, self-care being something that's specific. So some people need to be upregulated, some people need downregulated. Okay, this, yeah, I love this. Because it's just, it's specific, it's custom, it's based on what a human being needs in real time right now. Not just on like, hey, everyone should do yoga, but on why don't we get to know you, where you're coming in, and what do you need?
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. So then how do I know that I need down regulation. Mm-hmm. Like I have a long history of compounded trauma and my body has caused like even like, I'm air quoting autoimmune disorders. Mm-hmm. So Western medicine has said you've blown through all your like adrenal glands. Mm-hmm. Your body is in a constant state of fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And that's also why I turned to yoga, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I need my body to calm down. Even yes. mentally, if I can do that, my body is still like impending doom, mm-hmm. terror around every corner.
Yes, it's gotten used to that pattern.
Oh, it's obsessed with it. It's addicted yes. to that level in my brain. Mm-hmm. And so if it's not there, then I have to make it there.
Yes.
I mean, it's very interesting. Okay, so downregulate. How would I downregulate? A simple way that I could do that right now.
Focus on your exhale.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you just focus on your exhale, let it be slower and more relaxed, you can bring yourself into that parasympathetic system. So if you're focusing on the inhale, you're mm-hmm. going to upregulate. Oh. If you're focusing on the down or the exhale, uh-huh. you're going to help downregulate.
Okay.
It's very, very yeah. simple.
Yep. So we're going to say that again. If you are a person who needs to downregulate, we're focusing on the exhale, letting that be slower, controlled and thorough. It feels like when I'm breathing mm-hmm. all the way out. Mm-hmm. Up for people who need to upregulate. Now, who are these people?
Well, those people that have a hard time getting up off the couch.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So if you're Netflixing it all day, every yeah. day, and you're having a hard time finding yourself a sense of motivation
yeah.
into whatever's next, then I would say focusing on your inhales. And there's, several different practices. One of the ones I like for upregulation is there's one called Kapalabhati, and it's really this...
Sounds like a dish. Sounds like something I'm going to
eat. Yeah. Actually, what's funny is... the focus is actually on the exhale there, but it's a forced exhale.
Okay.
So, but if we talk about the inhale for yeah. the upregulation, Viloma One is
style. Can I Google this?
You totally can. Yes.
Also, do you offer breath workshops?
Not at this time.
Okay. Put that on the list because I'm like, one, we're all gonna be breathing.
Right.
And if I could watch you mm-hmm. do that, understand, I need to upcycle or downcycle, whatever I'm doing.
Yes.
And it was that simple. Like today, yes. I'm like, ooh, I can focus on my exhale.
Yes.
That's a great practice.
Okay, so what's great about my online course?
Core Restore.
Mm-hmm. Core Restore. There is a section for breath work.
Perfect.
Okay. Yes, yes. So there's that. But yes, definitely in-person
yeah. Yeah.
breath work workshops are, yes.
Okay.
In the future.
This is awesome. There was something else you said that I thought was Core Restore breath. No, there was something else. This is so neat already. Okay, keep going. What else do we want to talk about? Do you want to talk about pelvic floor?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the pelvic floor.
Yeah, why is that essential to your work? Because I took your yoga class, which was radical.
Oh, yay. Yeah. I'm so glad you liked it.
I was blown away.
Really?
Yeah, I've taken a lot of different... I want to take all the weirdest classes that exist because I'm like, if I'm doing something, like I want to take me to the weird land.
Yeah. Okay?
I'm with you. What are we doing? So I have taken classes where it's like literally like play yoga, where we're mm-hmm. like moving around the room and just being whatever. But in your yoga class, what I noticed was you helped to literally make sure that I was doing the posture correctly. And the postures we were doing were not like grandiose and super like... Mm. It was about stabilizing the pelvic floor and mm-hmm. that core piece. Mm-hmm. And literally what I noticed is as soon as I got into like the obvious postures, like warrior one or warrior two or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, they're totally different because of what we just did.
Yeah.
So I was shocked yeah. at how small movements, that was the focus that day. Mm-hmm. Small movements were making really significant change.
Yes.
And it was much more of a workout and experience than when I've done what I like the downward dog, the things I think are yoga, the mm-hmm. things I think I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. That was a totally different flip on the script for me yeah. taking your class.
It's a new way of paying attention.
Ooh, I like that. Say yeah. that again.
It's a new way of paying attention. Yoga, so my teacher has said to me many times, yoga is paying attention. Like, let that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
And being present in the moment, mm-hmm. right, with what is happening right here, right now.
Yes. So my mirrored image of that is I believe that that's where healing takes place. in real time, right here, right now. And a lot of the work of therapy is helping people come into the right here, right now, to this present moment.
We so rarely live there.
Oh my gosh.
Right? So to practice.
Yeah, exactly. It's practice. We do. We have to practice.
Yeah.
And then ideally, like for therapy or even for your work, that we can say we can do that together.
100%. Right?
Because now if we add this community piece, then I'm also solving the problem if I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And I'm finding comfort or community or a sense of I'm okay here, and someone sees me and now it's heightened that I'm okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because we're speaking to people on multiple levels.
All the time.
Yeah. And so somebody who resonates with body work versus mental health work, they're going to get both aspects.
Yeah, both.
And they're going to tap into maybe not with what they resonate with as much, but maybe what they need more of.
Oh, it's so true.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those poses in yoga that I hate the most, that I never teach and I rarely practice, those are the ones I need the most usually.
Yeah. It's our pain point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. And facing that and being with it.
Yes.
Allowing it to settle in
and
sit with it until it's ready to leave.
Yeah.
Well, so, but pelvic floor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
we just went off on something
pelvic
else.
Pelvic floor.
But I wanted to wrap it back around. So pelvic floor stuff, my interest and fascination came from my personal experience. After I birthed my first baby, I had some pretty intense pelvic floor stuff happening. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into too much detail. You know, I don't know if your listeners want to hear all about that.
No one's ever going to have a baby after this podcast. Right. I'm like, well, okay.
I know, right? but I went and saw a specialist. I didn't know who to see at the time. Now I would refer people I work with to go see a pelvic floor physical therapist.
Okay.
But at the time, I didn't know who to see. I was like, who do I see about this issue? So I went to a colorectal specialist.
Wait, a what? Say
a colorectal specialist.
Okay.
And I was told that I could have surgery, and the risks of that surgery were not, I was not going to go with that. Or I could pay a lot of money for Botox in that part of my body.
Stop it.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm going into a little bit too much detail.
I kind of love
Anyways,
this, yeah.
I wasn't down for the options there. So I really went on a mission to heal myself.
Yes.
My body.
Yeah.
Heal my body from this trauma experienced birthing a baby. And through my research and my body work, I realized what an important piece the pelvic floor was. So if you think about the core as a container,
okay. It's
not just a tube. There's a bottom and a top. And the pelvic floor is the bottom of your container.
Okay.
And if you don't have a solid base for what you're doing in your body, things can fall out the bottom.
Right. Okay. How many people are Kegeling right now? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I know, right?
As I'm listening, I'm like, oh, okay, right. I should probably do that.
Totally. Totally. Okay. But then how are you doing it?
Oh,
like,
I don't, just however my brain said I should.
Right.
Yeah,
I know. So spending time learning how to do a proper Kegel, and really ultimately being able to release and engage all the pelvic floor muscles, not just squeeze. Not just, there's more to a Kegel than we've been told.
Is that in the Core Restore?
It is.
Okay, cool.
It is, yeah. So I was able to heal myself. And I just want to bring attention and awareness to that area of our body because it's even though there's more awareness than there used to be, I still feel like it's kind of a taboo thing to talk about. And it's such an important piece of our anatomy.
Also, I want to, you said, I was able to heal myself.
Yes.
There is freaking power in that statement, Aurora.
Yes, there is.
I was able to heal myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that. I love hearing that because it's like, that option was not for me. That option was not for me. And you know what? I'm going to go figure out how this can be different. And then you did. Mm-hmm. And now you can help people through that.
Yes. And it wasn't easy, right?
No.
And it didn't just show up. I continued.
Yes, things
the
are
journey
through struggle.
Yes,
right. Well, and there's a sense of it meant something to you to solve this because it was your lady parts.
Yeah, totally. Well, and it's a area of weakness for me.
Yeah.
So it's not like the work is done.
Hmm.
I have to continue
to come back to it.
To come back to it.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't always.
Yep. There is a lot of taboo, and this is probably a conversation for another time, about talking about a woman's body, especially the parts that are that feel I think that there's such an interesting balance between the sacred and the profane. And oftentimes we call something that is sacred, we make it profane because people don't know how to handle it. Yes. But like our body parts are sacred and then it's obliterated in society and like a woman's like private parts become profane. Yeah. And so we're trying to rescue and reclaim the vagine from that space to make it like a sacred place of like strength rather than shame, rather than a place of like, we feel like, I'll speak for myself, I felt like prey, but to be able to say, no, like, this is like my body, my choice, my space, mine, instead of ignoring it, shaming it, disconnecting from it.
Yes, girl.
Well, we're going to have to, we're going to have a whole other conversation
all
about
of the
this.
Yes,
yeah.
On that, 100%. Yeah. Especially in this season, this Me Too movement. Where we are now reclaiming our power. So, how do we do that? Well, we start talking about our vaginas.
Yeah, we do.
Right? And we take care of them.
Yes.
Like, take care of your vaginas, ladies.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about vaginas now. Me and Noob, we're doing it right now. Okay. So, the Me Too movement meets the reclaiming the purity culture movement. So there was a huge movement within Christianity that was supposed to protect and preserve a woman's purity. Women only, the True Love Waits movement, all of those things that focused on females shunning and covering
hiding.
And be, oh yeah,
hiding,
absolutely.
Yes.
And that we were responsible for a male weakness, clearly. So taking back it, from religious culture, then from society, the space that a woman's body is her own, starting with her vagina, like the most like elemental, like
the base
what makes someone's like physical identity female.
It's the roots from which you grow.
So this is sacral too. This is got even that chakra area too, as well as where things
it
begin.
Is your ultimate
power, huh?
Power and ability to say like, I deserve to be here.
Dude, I deserve to be here from that space, in that place. Yeah. See, this is like, so sometimes when I'm working with people, I'll ask, where did you feel that in your body? Where was that? Where did that just show up?
I love that you
right?
do that.
Oh man, because you'll hear like there's a certain part of your body that needs that message or needs that belief to be restored. So a lot of times, like, so even now if you're listening and you're thinking about like, say that line again, I deserve to be here. If you were to scan through your body head to toe, I deserve to be here. What part of your body needs to hear that most? Like, if you just think, like, if I take a TSA scanner and I scan from your head to your toe, I deserve to be here. I deserve to be here. I deserve to be here. And you think about, where does your body need that message? And there'll be a part of your body where you maybe feel something. Maybe it's like a buzzing or a ping or a tingling or a vacancy, whatever it is, there's going to be a spot of you that goes, that's where I need that word. And you can almost imagine, like I'll tell you, put your hand over that spot. I don't care how awkward that is. Put it over your heart if that's where it needs to be. Put it over your stomach. Put it over your private parts. I don't care. I deserve to be here. Needs to live in your body in some way. That's why the body responds. And so what happens then, I'll say, okay, you have your hand over that spot. And it's like, okay, imagine those words just living right there, being right there, taking space up there. Imagine being written in Sharpie across you. And then could you say it? Could you use your words to then like declare that truth over yourself? And like, I think that's where the whole like mind, body, physical, physiological, spiritual, emotional comes together, is that our body is a container for a work that is happening that is so much farther beyond what we could plan. But so we anchor that work to the actual body.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, in so many ways. And I think I love that exercise that you just did, because I do think when you close your eyes and you tune in, there's an aspect of visualization and speaking yourself into this truth.
Yes.
This new truth that you're going to create.
Yep.
There's so much power in that.
Yeah, there is.
I've recently been, as part of a self-care practice for myself, in my growth, I have been journaling as my future self.
Yeah.
Right? As what I want to have happen in my life, I'm writing about it as if it has already happened. And the power
Of tense.
That.
Yeah.
Right? So doing that exercise reminds me a lot of that. I love that.
Yeah. And you had your hand over your over your throat. Would you mind telling us a little bit about, tell me the why that's significant? I deserve to be here, and it was your throat area.
I'm finding my voice. And I'm releasing the fear of my voice being worthy of being heard. How I communicate things is changing.
Okay.
I'm hoping for the better.
Mm-hmm. You can know that.
Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have not always been good with words, and I'm looking to find more truth in each moment that I share with others. And that said, I'm also working on becoming a better listener. I want to hear what other people have to say now.
Yeah, it represents both then, the like releasing words from within and receiving words from other people.
Yes. And not thinking about what I'm going to be saying next, but being in the moment mm-hmm. with what's coming out of mm-hmm. me right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's new for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm that's where I'm at.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I noticed that wherever those words needed to be, they can evoke a sense of emotion, like a sense of like, mm-hmm. ooh, there's either like regret there or pain there mm-hmm. or things I wish I could take back or things I wish I could mm-hmm. put in, you know? And so sometimes that's part of like the exercise too. Like, so wherever it was for you when you were listening is thinking, oh, do I have something to say from that place? When I say I deserve to be here and emotion struck, or I deserve to be here and my, what I want to have be there arises, mm-hmm. what do I need to say now in order to carry that work even further? To say, this is a sacred space. Mm-hmm. My voice will be used for truth for myself and for others.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve to be here. They deserve to be here. We deserve a space of truth. You know, just kind of just keep just using your words to keep what you do with your journal, but to do it out loud.
Yes, right? Absolutely. And practicing that for me is part of my work right now.
Yeah.
Noticing too, I've recently in the last year, I've lost my voice several times.
Okay, this is like my favorite part. This is like the big magic stuff where it's like, totally. Oh, really? Like, that's so not a coincidence because right. You lost it. You lost your voice. You lost your power.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
The wordlessness has so much to teach us. The powerlessness that comes from not being able to use our voice.
Mm-hmm.
Radical.
Totally radical.
Also /try parenting with no voice.
Oh, it's like, yeah.
Oh, but that's geez. How we feel. Yeah. I've felt voiceless and powerless before without losing my actual voice. It's just a giant metaphor to jump into, an opportunity and invitation to learn.
Aren't metaphors so great? Mm-hmm. I'm just mm-hmm. loving all the mm-hmm. metaphors. That's why I love yoga so much.
Yes.
It's because there are so many metaphors in body work that relate directly to other aspects of your life. It's poetry.
I love that.
It is.
Yeah. I am, okay, let's talk about what we're going to be doing then real quick for a second, because if people are listening this far, I hope that they're like, wait, what? We just talked about all these things, including vaginas, and they can't miss what's going to happen in July. We're going to, like, ebb and flow that day, probably very similar to what we just did, like, talking about the marriage and parallel and the mirrored components of the way in which we help people align to their true self.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like what I'm hearing you, all these things are like my light board is like just getting lit up right now inside mm-hmm. me. I'm like, oh yeah, wait, I did that, but this way. Oh, I did that too, but this way. Oh, interesting. Oh, so I help people do that. Oh, this is so cool. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to be working towards our core, but from two different places, which is the same space. And I think that's what I hope people realize that day mm-hmm. is that the core truth can be arrived at via our psyche, via our mental work, our emotional, our spiritual, or our physical work.
Yes.
Our physical work is spiritual, is emotional, is mental, is psychological. And so I think like wherever we start, wherever we end, I think we're coming more to a center circle space rather than to like a linear finish.
Yes. So, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I love what you said about our bodies being a container for our spirit.
Yes.
Right? It's just, yes.
Yeah.
Connecting with that and also connecting with what the mind likes to do.
Yes.
Brings us ultimately into our sense of true self. Yes. Like capital S self.
Correct.
Who we really are.
Right. Authentic true self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so personally, body has been my last sphere. I've shared about that a couple times before on this podcast, mm-hmm. but it had always been such a deep sense of like shame and violation mm-hmm. that I've just rejected it as a mirrored image of it being rejected or abused by others. Mm-hmm. So now I'm wanting to find ways back into my body, back into this practice of living in my physical body and honoring it. Mm. It just loving it, making it be a home. And when I think about making my actual home, I want to be comfortable and I want people to feel welcome. Mm-hmm. Well, how can I house myself, right, in that way, has been the question I've been pursuing. Mm-hmm. How can I house myself in a way that feels like my spirit is welcome here, my soul is welcome here, my experience and memories and all those things are welcome here. There's room for me within myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like the heart of wanting this experience was whatever people needed, wherever they're coming from, whatever their pain or their story or their experience or lack of experience with the physical or mental or emotional, that there would be room for them to show up and get a taste and think about, ooh, God, okay, that's different. Yes. Or that's interesting, or that's whatever.
Just as you are. Mm-hmm. Show up just as you are.
Yeah.
I love that you're doing that for yourself. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you. This is what lights my fire. Mm-hmm. I just get so excited for people to say yes. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that people come and say yes. Me this too. Event is going to be magic.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Yeah. I am just like buzzing about it in my whole self.
I feel like the trailer is going to lift up off the ground.
It is. I'm like shaking it as I'm talking. I love this space. It's great.
Okay, so if you're listening, you want to join us in person. We're going to be together in San Juan Capistrano, July 20th, like 9:30 in the morning. It's going to be about 2 hours long, and we really would love for you guys to be there. We want you to be a part of this and to experience it for yourself. Tickets are available on Eventbrite. They're available on my Instagram profile, website. I'll put it in the show notes. You guys, it's like $47 for 2 hours of this experience that you get to experience yourself. You're not a bystander or an observer or a listener. I think that's why we want experiential activities. Is so, like right now, wherever you are listening, you're where you are listening. But when you get to come to an event, you get to show up in person and have this experience for yourself as a person who's experiencing it together as a participant. And I think that's the invitation I want people to have through all of the work that I do and through all of the work that you do is you are not an outsider. You are not an observer. Mm-hmm. Come join us. Come be with us. Come be a part of it. Come experience it. Have a spot at the table.
Yes, that's you're not alone. You are not alone in your journey. Yeah. And this is an opportunity to see that.
Yep. And to meet people. I think that that's something I hear a lot is like, I'm looking for healthy community. I don't know where to find it. Where are people that are like-minded? Where do I go? Does anyone else think about these things? Am I just the only weird one? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, here's the thing. If people are listening and they're going to show up in San Juan, they're probably going to be like you and like in some good ways. So if you're looking and have a need for newer, healthier, revitalized friendships, come meet there.
Yes.
Or grab a girlfriend that you're like, hey, actually, there's that girlfriend who I know who I think that I actually like to take our relationship like more seriously or more intellectual or more thought-based. Like, come play. Come join us on that day. I think that'd be a really good spot and good thing for us to think about.
And then maybe go out to lunch with them after and kind of just tap in and say, you know, connect about that. I love that idea to make it a girl's day. Mm-hmm.
What else do you want to say about that event or other things coming up?
What I was going to say about that event. Oh, that I keep getting messages that people have already bought tickets. Mm-hmm. So get your ticket. Don't wait.
Yes.
Because it will sell out.
Yeah. It's good. So we have less than 40 spots left for this event. So I say that in an actual way because we actually want you to be there.
We really, really do. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, I'm just letting you know, like, I don't want you to miss out. If you want to come, like, buy your ticket because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is going to be awesome. Okay. You guys, thank you. Aurora, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
It's a dream to be working with you. I just, you're such an inspiration. And to so many of your listeners that are like, yes, she is. She really is. She's a light. Thank you for having me.
Right, totally. Okay, so where people will follow up with you? They can follow up with you on Instagram at wellalignedwoman, website wellalignedwoman.com. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Your Core Restore will be coming out. They can follow up with your work there or come meet you in real life human being personness, July 20th, same on Capistrano.
I also have on my website, if people go in and check in, if you're a mom, I have a 5-minute meditation.
Love it.
That's free. So you go into the store on my website and you just type in your email and it'll be sent to you. And it's just a 5-minute, just if you don't know how to give yourself 5 minutes of self-care, this will just lead you into that.
Okay, that's bomb. Okay.
Yeah.
So wellalignedwoman.com, go to the store, look up the mom 5-minute meditation, start there.
Yeah, it's right there. When you open up the store, you'll see it and
I like
just
that.
Download it and close your eyes. That's all you gotta do.
Yep.
Okay? Just follow along. Easy peasy.
Okay, perfect. Okay, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. If you are interested in beginning your own work in therapy or coaching, you can go to www.elisesnipes.com. Follow me on Instagram at Elise Snipes Collective, where I will be sharing more with you throughout the week. You can get in touch with me to suggest a topic for the show or to ask a question from your own life you would like to have answered. Or just say hi by emailing me at elise@elisesnipes.com. Remember to subscribe on iTunes and tell your friends.